Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for the abilities that you've imparted to me to minister your word, and I thank you for it. And Lord, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. From the top of your voice, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. Hallelujah. Psalm 71. I'm going to read a couple of verses here to you, beginning with verse 17. It says, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Hallelujah. My subject this morning is, let's finish strong. Let's finish strong. This is not the time to slow down, but this is the time to if I can use this, it's like a military term, but it's time to hunker down. Amen. And I like what the writer says here. I want to read it to you again. Says, oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wonderful works. So the writer here is saying, Lord, you know, you've taught me from my youth, and even to up to this day, I am still declaring your works. That's a blessing, isn't it? I said, that's a blessing, isn't it? But he didn't stop there. He says, Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation. Let me stop right there just for a moment. I want to talk to everybody. I'm talking to everybody. But I know I'm talking to people from different generations. I'm talking to people in my generation. I'm talking to folks in generations behind me, and even folks generations ahead of me. Listen to me. Get this in your spirit. You need to be determined right now. Make a decision that you are going to declare the works of the Lord to everybody, to every generation, but especially your generation. Amen. Young people need to be equipped to declare Jesus and to share Jesus with their generation. I want to tell you something. When I was a teenager and a young adult, the older adults thought of my generation as being weird. Maybe a little bit off, because I was born in 1950. So by the time I became a teenager, I was a teenager in the 60s, and a lot of stuff happened in the 60s. Can anybody relate to what I'm talking about? The 60s was kind of crazy. Amen. The 60s was kind of crazy. And so even the older Christians had a tough time relating to the teenagers of the 60s. Now I know some of you that grew up with me, not all of you, but I knew some of you that grew up with me, and so because you were, some of you were teenagers right along with me that I grew up with. So I know how we used to act as teenagers. Amen. But you know something? As a teenager, Jesus Christ found me. And I learned to declare the goodness of the Lord to my generation. And as much as possible, I shared him with older people, but a lot of times the older people would kind of look down on you, look at you like, poor thing, you know, he don't know what he's talking about. Even some of the older Christians were, they were set in their ways. And if you tell them, well, you know, this is what the Bible says, they say, no, shut up. We've done it this way. We've always done it this way, and we will continue to do it this way. So just keep your mouth shut. So I reached out to the older generations as much as I could, but I was focused, listen to me, I was focused on my generation. Because we could speak the same language. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Amen. You think the younger generation now is the only one that talk different? When you hear them talk, you want to say, "Will you please interpret what you just said?" Because I mean, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'm listening at young people talk, and they use stuff that I don't know what it means. Am I out here by myself? Or yeah, amen. That don't make them bad people. Not at all. Because I used to be a teen. And I was a teenager and a young adult during a very militant time. Very, very militant time. But I reached out to my generation. Now, amen. And young people, young adults, I'm charging you right now, reach out to your generation with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need it. Amen. They may not act like they need it. They may not talk like they need it. They may act like they got it all together. I'm here to tell you they don't. They don't. Amen. Verse 18 again. Now, also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. In other words, the writer was saying, I must finish strong. I must finish strong. Just because, when I become old and my hair change colors, that doesn't mean I'm to stop. That doesn't mean that I'm to slow down, to pull back, but I am to continue to forge ahead with the things of God. Are you still here? Amen. I am so glad that Jesus didn't quit. How many of you will agree with me that Jesus finished strong? Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Hallelujah. Jesus finished strong. He was not a loser hanging on that cross. He was a winner because he was winning for us. Glory to God. And I'm so glad that Jesus didn't quit, because if had he quit and given up, we would all of us would be people most miserable. People without hope. Can I tell you something? When you quit, when you slow down, when you lose interest in the things of God, other people get hurt. I hope you're listening to me. Let me move on. Hallelujah. There's some points I want to bring up to you here. And again, like almost always, I probably won't finish. But I want to establish some things with you. Some of you already, you're already aware of this. But I want to share it with you anyway. I want each and every one of you in here, and those of you that's watching as well, to finish strong for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll talk more about this a little bit later on. But one of the things, and I'm getting a little ahead on my message, but I think it's very important. One of the things that those of us as Christians have to watch out for is distractions. Anything that will cause you to lose interest in the things of God. I'm trying to get back to my notes, but I want to say this. Do you know the Bible says that if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged? The Word of God is telling us we need to take a look at ourselves. We need to do some self-examining. I have to ask myself sometime, do I have your attention? Because I don't want you to miss this. I have to ask myself sometime, am I still as interested in the things of God as I was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago? Or have I become bored? Or am I asking the question that John the Baptist asked when he was offended? Is he, talking about Jesus, is he the one, or do we look for another? There are Christians that's been challenged in their faith with that lying spirit, and that lying spirit can come through people that will try to convince you that Jesus is not the one. You need to look for another. You need to look for another. They'll come with that lying spirit and say, I found another, and this is what we do, and on and on and on. Listen, you have to ask yourself, am I getting bored with Jesus? Am I getting bored with the things of God? Have I lost interest in the things of God? Then you have to turn around and ask yourself, if that's the case, then you have to turn around and ask yourself why. And I know the first thing we want to do as humans, as natural human beings, we want to blame somebody else. We want to blame the pastor. Well, you know, if the pastor would preach this, or if the pastor would preach that, if pastor would preach what the other pastor preaching, or my TV pastor's preaching, whatever. If he would preach that, then I would be more excited about the things of God. That's no excuse. Now, I will tell you, I can only speak for yours truly. I can't speak for anyone else, but I can speak for myself. I put forth every effort through prayer, spending time with God, to minister to you what God wants you to hear. Amen. Some of you have been with me for years and years and years. Man, we've had services where, you know, we've had running services, we've had dancing services, we've had services where folks were slain in the spirit, you know, and we've had services where just tremendous healings took place. And all don't get me wrong, all of that is good. But you know what God wants sometime is for us to settle back and hear the word of God. Look at the ministry of Jesus Christ. He worked many, many, many miracles. Matter of fact, the Apostle John said the world couldn't hold the books that could be written about all he'd done. But one thing you will find as you read through the Gospels, Jesus taught and he preached. And he taught and he preached. And sometimes he would tell them, folks, you're dull of hearing. I'm sure Jesus taught some things that the folks didn't want to hear. Matter of fact, he taught some things that made them mad. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, taught things that made them mad, that got folk upset. But yet and still, he told them the truth, and he told them what they needed to hear. Hallelujah. Sometimes we need to slow down and listen. Sometimes we need to turn the music off and listen. My question, just to provoke you to think, how well can you hear God? Well, we can all improve in that area, don't get me wrong. We can all improve in that area. But if you're going to hear him, you got to put yourself in a place to hear. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Are you still with me? Everybody say finish strong.
Finish
strong. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. 17th chapter. Acts the 17th chapter. To finish strong, you need to understand that this is your appointed time and that there's a purpose for your life. You've heard me say this over and over and over. You got to understand, to finish strong, you've got to understand that this is your appointed time and there's a God-given purpose for your life. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26 says, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Now look, I could stop right there and preach the rest of the service. I could stop right there. And he has made from one blood. Everybody say one blood.
One blood.
Come on, say it again.
One blood.
And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I said glory be to God. We all created from one blood, Adam and his wife Eve. We are descendants, one blood. Technically speaking, all of us are kin if we came from one blood. Amen. If you black, you got some white folk in your family. You got some Asians in your family. And everybody else. If you white, you got some blacks in your family. You got some Asians in your family. And on and on and on. Because the Bible says that we are created from one blood. Maybe not your immediate family. But in other words, we are all one family. Now, see, there's two parts to this. Naturally speaking, we're keeping it in the natural right at this moment. Naturally speaking, we're all one blood because of Adam. Hallelujah. But yet, we can't get along. And you got folks every day manufacturing and trying to manufacture ways to divide us, keep us divided. But let me take this a step further. Let's get over into the spiritual. Those of us that are born again, we're also one blood.
Amen.
Oh, you ought to shout about that.
Amen.
All of us, if you in Christ Jesus, we one blood.
Amen.
We one blood. Hallelujah. We family. See, the devil don't like that kind of stuff because he likes division. He wants to always stir up something, keep something going. Why is he that way? Well, that's just his nature. That's the reason he couldn't stay in heaven. Amen. Always stirring up something. But we've been called by God to always promote peace, seek peace, to love one another. Am I telling you the truth?
Amen.
And don't listen to voices of division.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Do not listen to voices of division. Because Satan understands if he can keep you divided, if he can keep the church divided, it's going to fall. It's going to be weak. It's going to become anemic and ineffective. Not able to do what God called us to do. Are you still with me?
Amen.
No wonder Jesus says, Father, they're not of the world. Talking about the believers. They're not of the world because I'm not of the world. Went on to say, Father, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil. Brothers and sisters, I say, brothers and sisters, we've got to be sharp enough to recognize good and evil. That is a sign of maturity according to the Word of God. We are able to discern good and discern evil, discern what's of God and what's of the devil, discern what brings peace and what brings division, discern what pleases God and what does not. We can't be gullible. Not make it. Glory be to God. All righty. They still have it on the screens. It says, and he has made, this Acts 17:26, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. And listen at this. Listen at this. And has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling. On May 4th, 1950, God chose to bring into this world a handsome little baby boy. Now, what do you expect me to say, an ugly kid? No. I mean, from the pictures I can see, old pictures, they're all black and white and very faded, but I look like a pretty cute little kid, little baby. But God chose to bring this baby boy into the earth. Well, you know, you have the same testimony.
Amen.
You might not have been born on the same day that I was, but my point is, you're here because God put you here, right?
Amen.
You know, Bobby, why weren't you born in the 1600s? But you wouldn't be here now for sure. But you know why you weren't born in the 1600s? Because it wasn't God's will for you to be born in the 1600s. It's God's will for you to be right here today serving him. God's blessed you and all of us that are in this room to be here in America. Amen. Thank God for that. Glory to God. All right. 27 again. That's 26 again. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Why? Verse 27 tells us. So that they may do what? So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and do what? Find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Oh, that's a blessing right there. Anybody can be saved that want to be saved. And I want to tell you, if you're watching today and you don't know Jesus, all you have to do is reach out, call on him. He's not far. He's right there with you. Matter of fact, You were born naturally to be born again.
Amen.
Glory to God. We see here that mankind was born into this earth at God's appointed time to serve Him, to fulfill His purpose for their life, to be born again. Oh, hallelujah. Point at yourself right now. Say, God has given me purpose. And that purpose first is to get saved, serve the Lord, grow in Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you still here? Ooh, thank you, Jesus. So number one, let me we're talking about finishing strong. Number one, again, we must understand that this is our appointed time and that there is a purpose for our lives. And because of that, we need to be determined. We need to settle the issue. I'm going to finish strong. Whether I'm raptured out of here or take my last breath, I'm going out of here strong. Glory to God. But there's something that can hinder us from finishing strong. And that's number two. Listen to me. You must. Hear me good. You must forget, put it under the blood, your past failures and disappointment. You got to do it. Put it under the blood. If you're still seeing yourself as a failure, if you're still disappointed in yourself, you need to stop right now and say, Lord, I give you everything. My failures, my disappointments, I cast all those cares upon you. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God we have an answer. Turn to the book of Philippians with me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Philippians, third chapter. How many of you want to finish strong?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Glory to God. When Jesus come back, we don't want Him to find us weak. We don't want Him to find us more interested in something else than Him. We don't want Him to find us so involved in other things that we completely neglect to do what He's called us to do and to live for Him. We don't want to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Philippians chapter 3. Beginning hallelujah. I'm going to read verse 13 here just a moment. But I just sense in my spirit right now, I want to say this before I move forward. That there's some folk, at least one person, probably more, you still feel like you don't measure up. You don't feel like God can really use you. You don't really believe, although you confess some things to him, you haven't really surrendered the fact that God forgave you and you need to move on. Well, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do the other. The Bible says we can do all things through him. Through him. Through him. Well, I'm not like such and such. Don't concern yourself about that. God loves diversity. You be who God called you to be. Are you still here? Amen. Don't try to be like someone else. You get a hold of the word of God, and if you have to, grab a hold of the horns of the altar and get in God's face and find out what he has for you, and you flow in that and stop trying to be like someone else.
Amen.
Feeling condemned, feeling rejected, that's not of God. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Maybe someone watching. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians chapter 3. Remember, I said we must forget past failures and past disappointments. The Apostle Paul set the example himself. He said, brethren, this is verse 13, Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Let me ask the question. I can't see the folks that's viewing the live stream, but I can see those of you that are here. Let me ask you something right now, and you can testify by a show of hands. How many of you have forgotten, or you willing to forget those things that are behind? Let me see. I'm talking about the things that God was not involved in. Yeah. Now, how many of you now, I want to see your hand, how many of you now are ready to move forward in God, forgetting those things that are behind? Whole glory to God. Give him praise, will you? Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, Philippians chapter 3, he said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal. Now, let me stop right there. I'm going to finish verse 14, but let me tell you something. You're not going to do the will of God. You're not going to please God without pressing in. Sometimes you may feel like you're swimming upstream. You may feel like everything's against you. But I'm here to tell you that if you make up your mind that I'm forgetting those things that are behind and I am pressing forward. I'm pressing forward. And I will not allow anything to distract me or change my mind. I'm going forward in God. I am going to finish strong. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 14 again, so I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 15 says, therefore let us, that means you, that means me, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Glory to God. I want to charge you today to be willing to press in to the calling of God in your life. Well, Pastor, I don't yet understand what it is. Well, what did I just read? Let me read 15 again. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Let me tell you something. God will reveal to you in due time what he wants from you. The door where the ushers are standing right now, I cannot get to that door unless I take one step at a time. You hear me? Or do you follow me? You've got to take the first step, and then you got to take the second step. And in due time. See, some folks don't know what God wants from them because they're unwilling to take the first step or the second step or the third step. They just want to sit and say, well, I'm just waiting on God. Start doing what you know to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Tony, I don't know if you were there yet. You may have been when we were downtown at the other church downtown. Pastor asked us, said he wanted to wax the floor, have the floors waxed, and he asked for some folks to come in on Saturday to do it. Not wax it, but strip the old wax. Well, now, I could have took the attitude that, we lived up near Jefferson at that time. I'm not going to Chiraw to scrape any wax. After all, I'm called to the ministry. I got a calling of God on my life. And it ain't to strip wax. Now, I'm going to use one of Tony's phrases. He's probably thinking, uh-oh. Me and my sweet little wife came to Chiraw and Cedric and Ed when they were small. Got some, what did we use? Razor blades or whatever, not razor blades, whatever we, but we got down that Saturday. I could have been doing a lot of other things. But I was in the house of God. This is the place we worship. And we got down and stripped wax. And folks stayed away by the droves. just a few of us there. But that didn't matter. We did it anyway. What am I saying? And preachers especially got to learn this, and all those called to preaching. I'm getting ready to close this out. One thing that God does not like, and I repeat, this one thing that God does not like, and that's pride. He don't like, I'm too good for this. I'm above this. I mean, Jesus went to the lowest of the low. They even talked about him being with sinners. But Jesus was determined to do the will of his Father and touch everybody and do whatever it took to get the job done. Folks, I want to tell you something. I'm getting ready to close. I don't know where our piano, Paul, come on. I'm getting ready to close, but I want you to understand something. If you want to go to the top, be willing to work at the bottom. I don't care what your calling is. Be willing to work at the bottom. Because you have to understand, man can promote, but you're not really promoted unless God does it.
Amen.
Now that's good preaching right there. So I thought I'd have got more amens than that. Hallelujah. You're not promoted unless God does it. You can sit in that position or stand in that position, but God holds the anointing. Man can appoint, but man can't anoint. Oh, y'all ought to write that down. Man can appoint, but man cannot anoint. God anoints.
Amen.
So God watches us when we're little. You can go into the army or any branch of the military and tell them, well, you know what? I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that, and I'm not doing the other. Just go ahead and give me my stars right now because I want to be a general. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Now, those commissioned officers, I watched them when we were in basic. These were the guys that was going to wear the bars and the eagles and the stars. They were treated worse than we were. They you know, thought, man, I don't know if I want to become an officer or not, which I never did. They were treated worse than we were. Man, they laid into those guys and ladies too. But you know what? Some of them became lieutenants, captains, majors, colonels, generals, because they proved themselves at the bottom. Some of you out there want to be preachers. And you say, I want to be an apostle. I want to be a bishop. What have you done on the bottom? What about the simple stuff? Not to mention the call and the anointing. Thank God for the apostles today and the bishops that are called and anointed by God. But see, God looks at attitude, and he does not like pride. I don't really know why I got off on that, but it's good anyhow, isn't it? Yeah, it's good anyhow. God's looking for people that he can use. Not in it for the money. Not in it for the popularity, but in it because they love God. And they are willing to sacrifice for God whatever it takes. In other words, finish strong. Give God praise, will you? Have you been blessed, folks? As I told you earlier, I didn't finish. We'll revisit this again. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that your word will not return unto you void.